All right, now on this page 73 again, I would then establish a date. I didn't put it on here, but I would basically establish the beginning of this rider of the first horse, approximately the period of 1917. It's the best overall date that I can find and the most striking international date. All right, now, I put the third horse rider with it. And it says, when I have broken the bars of their yoke. And this fellow, I took the balance. See, I had a balance in his hand. I took the balance out. I substituted the yoke. When I have broken the bars of their yoke. And then, look at Ezekiel 34. And the tree of the field shall yield its fruit. The earth shall yield its increase. They shall be secure in their land. They shall know that I am Jehovah when I have broken the bars of their yoke. Now, this is what's in progress right now. And have delivered them out of the hand of those that made bondmen of them. They're not out of it yet. They're trying to get out of Russia. They're trying to get out of other countries. But it's in the process. These riders are affecting this. While I say the rider went forth, it's present tense. You be going. It's a directive. You be going. So his going is continuous. And that first horse rider, not only was the Balfour Declaration, but it was the Declaration of the State, and the Declaration of the End of the Times of the Gentiles, and he's building the State of Israel to the victory to which the Lord could come. Now, this rider's doing that too. So I'd say that you have to start this horse whenever you start the white horse. That basically, at that point, he began to break their yoke, because he had already taken it away from the Mohammedans that were holding the land in 1917, and the Balfour Declaration took it over, and so he had broken the bars of their yoke. Verse 28, and they shall no more be a prey to the nations. See, they stopped being a prey. They became to be independent. Neither shall the beasts of the earth devour them. Now there you see it's clearly beasts as nations. See, beasts of the earth. And that's why I say you have to stick to the symbolic meaning of it. It can't mean animals running around devouring them. But they shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. Now, they're getting pretty defiant, little by little, more and more. And you remember how they had back there in 67 that Israel trusted their defense forces. But then you remember how in 1973, that war, they'd advanced so that all the guns and equipment in Israel had this on it, see? Israel batak behay. Israel trusts God. See, they put that on their guns. They put that on their tanks. And they sent that to us from Israel. And they said nearly all of them had that on their guns. So see, they're making a progress. They'd gone from trusting their own defenses of 67 to trusting God in 73. Big step. Big step. And they're moving along. We're real proud of that, that they sent that to us from over there. And let us see that sign that was on so many of them. So progressively they're moving. Now, here, go a little bit further. Now, I've taken this up with you before. Matthew 22, when he had agreed that the laborers for a shilling a day, he sent them into the vineyard. That's the denarius a day. And then koinex of wheat for a denarius, 3 koinex of barley for a denarius, and I showed you they weren't little bits, but a lot. Might you not harm the oil of the wine? So, the koinex is a tenth of a gomer. And therefore, a koinex is 10 times the daily necessity. And that's where they're going. Not scarcity, but plenty. And so Israel is going up and up and up in production. And they're exporting all over the world. They're exporting tomatoes and exporting citrus and flowers are coming into New York City all the way from Israel. They're flying in all of these things all the time. They even are raising square tomatoes so they fit better in the boxes and all of this kind of thing. And they're really progressing steadily. And they're moving out like this. And so not scarcity, but plenty. So these two horses, I believe, are both riding and both about the same time. This black horse, back in the 17 period, their big effort was to reforest the land. And while he was breaking the yoke and bringing people back and freeing them from their bondage all over the world, and they were coming back, they were planting forests because all the forests of Israel had been cut down. Israel was nothing but rocks every place. and they had cut them all down because the Arabs had levied a tax on the acreage that had forests centuries ago, a long time ago. And so they'd cut down all the forests. And then in the war and the siege of Jerusalem, they cut down all the trees for miles around. And so it was devastated and eroded. Well, now they were busy planting the forest again and building up the forest. And the land was building up. And they were reclaiming the Hula marshes. You know, we had that little poem, remember? Miram first, the marshy lake. Okay, Miram isn't even there anymore. Miram's gone. All that's been irrigated and turned into rich farmland. Now all that marsh, mosquito-infested, malaria-infested, many of the settlers up there died of malaria. And this was really very difficult to reclaim all this land. But this has been going on since about the same period of time. And it's becoming a land of plenty. And if you don't believe it, go there and look at the land. And then ride from there out into the Arabs' land and look what you got. And you'll see all the difference in the world. God is blessing Israel. All right, now let's look at page 74. Now, this is the one that's the clincher. This is the real clincher. This is horse number two. This is the red terrorism that's got the world scared to death right now. This has been increasing. When did he go for it? 1917, world terrorism begins in Russia. There's no question about it. Now, this is the Encyclopedia Britannica. Look at the words. The stark historical truth is that nobody either organized or provoked the revolution. And the Russian Revolution started in 1917. God sent the terrorist horse for it. Look at the next sentence. Even when the revolution was in full swing, few persons suspected that it had actually begun. Among the members of the Soviet's first executive committee were a few Bolsheviks who accepted Lenin's dictum that the Russian Revolution was the vanguard of the world socialist revolution. And another sidelight to this thing is interesting, that a lot of these people involved in this were Jews. A lot of them were Jews involved with this. And that you can see, too, because you remember in the church letters you had, you are the synagogue of Satan? Okay, these are that group still around, still causing trouble for Israel. Now look at the next. This is still Encyclopedia Britannica. In fact, most members of the executive committee of the Soviet expected and welcomed the advent of the world revolution and believed in the missionary character of their own. Look at that. All right? Now, Russia in the Septuagint is Rus, Ezekiel 39:1. See? Gog, chief prince of Rus, Russia. And the Bolshevik means majority. Pravda means truth. And that's their publication. See how they latch on to things that mislead? Now, look at the last sentence. The subsequent history of the theory and practice of Bolshevism is indistinguishable from that of communism. They're all run together. Communism, terrorism, call it what you want to. It's all going to be the same thing. And what we're facing is terrorism better than either communism or anything. We're facing a red horse rider where millions have been slain. Millions have been slain already by the terrorism. Because as this movement grew in Russia, they annihilated millions of their own people. Millions. You can get those kind of things out of the encyclopedia easily. Because they went into southern, remember it's the Union of Socialist Soviet Republic, or however it is, these separated countries. These are all like little countries, all united in Russia. And those countries, some of them, if they were too powerful, they just saw to it that the whole province starved to death. They didn't let any food get in or out until the people all just starved off. They annihilated millions of people. And peace is taken out of the earth. And when do you fix it? 1917, there's no question about it. November, the same time, the Russian Revolution took over. And it's been going and spreading all over the world. But it's interesting, too, recently, that they said that you can call Beirut the center of world terrorism. And there it is. And all of this is moving steadily in one direction. Now, our last horse rider, Death, with Hades following, a green horse. All right. In Matthew, we have, and we're going to have all some of the scripture. Go with it. I just want you to look at the pictures first and get a nice view of what you're looking at. And you have the fact that he said you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but all those will go on and on and on. Don't worry about that at all. But when nation arises against nation, kingdom against kingdom, these are the beginning of the birth pains. Birth pains of what? Well, it was right in these birth pains. 32 nations involved. 37 million casualties. World War I, 1914, 1917. Same period of time. The influenza epidemic in 1918 killed 20 million people. We forget those things. We forget. We easily forget, but that's what it is, and that's what the encyclopedia has given. And 20 million were killed. Just look at it. 32 nations involved in that war. And out of the war, a land was born in a day. The beginning of the birth pain. And the land came into existence. Then followed hard on its heels World War II, 1939 to 45. And 68 nations were involved with 50 million plus casualties and famine spreading. I said that right. It's printed wrong. You can put the R in there. The famine's spreading. See? I just wanted you to know I do get some things right. Okay. The authority to kill was upon one quarter of the earth. And that's just about what was involved in that war. To kill with sword, with famine, with disease or death, by the wild beasts. And who was involved with World War I and II? Basically, the wild beasts of the Japhetic powers. The Japhetic powers. Shem, Ham, Japheth. It was primarily the Japhetic nations that have kept this world all in turmoil. It hasn't been the Hamitic peoples. The Africans weren't involved in the war. They have never been a cause of world strife, particularly. And it wasn't the Semitic people. They were involved, but only in an offhanded way. The Arabs were not as involved nearly. Oh, some of them tried to cash in on the advantages, I don't doubt, but the basics were the Japhetic peoples of Europe. They're the ones that caused the whole trouble, and they went to war. So you see a little picture. Now, here are four horse riders. Here are historic events that all have their beginning in 1917 or close. How are you going to refute it? Think you can find four better horses? Try it. If you find four better horses, let me know. Pages 73 and 74 put the opening of the first four seals in a sort of chart form. It seems to me that the white horse and black horse have to do with Israel, while the red and green horses have to do with the nations of the earth. It is certainly more than an accident that the Balfour Declaration giving the Jewish people a national homeland was approved November the 2nd, 1917. That the program for world revolution was set in motion in 1917. That the First World War occurred at the same period. That the Jews no longer in bondage began to return in ever-increasing numbers. We'll consider the fifth and sixth seals further. But first, let us consider some more scripture. Now, while we're at it, and it's a good place to stop here, let's go back and get ourselves more stable again up at the front on the continuity and go back there and pick up chapter 6. We've read 4 and 5. And let's go back and pick up chapter 6 at the bottom of page D. I think just reading the continuity. Now, I go to a lot of work to pull these smooth readings up front. I have to write the whole book of the Bible over again whenever I do this to pull them up here. And I have to do it by hand like they did manuscripts in the first place because I can't afford the printing of them. All right. So I hope you use them. If you can't spend time digging commentary often, read often. You can do that. and you'll be reading a consistently rendered translation. Oh, I'm not saying it's flawless. I've never said that. But you'll be reading it consistently. That is, the words will show up the same English all the time from the Greek. And I hope it'll sink in. I don't think that the translation is that difficult. And I saw when the Lamb opened one out of the seven seals, and I heard one out of the four living creatures saying as of a voice of thunder, "You go." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and the one sitting on it holding a bow. And a crown was given to him, and he went out having victory, and in order that he might have victory. And when he opened the seal, namely the second, I heard the second living creature saying, "You go." And another horse, red, went out. And to the one sitting on it, it was given to him to take the peace out of the earth, and in order that they will slay one another, and a great dagger was given to him. And when he opened the seal, namely the third, I heard of the third living creature saying, "You go." And I saw, and behold, a black horse, and the one sitting on it holding a yoke in his hand. And I heard as a voice in midst of the four living creatures saying, "A clinix of wheat for a denarius, and three clinixes of barley for a denarius, and might you not harm the oil and the wine." And when he opened the seal, namely the fourth, I heard voice of the fourth living creature saying, "You go." And I saw, and behold, a green horse, and the one sitting above upon it, name to him was the death, and the Hades was following with him. And authority was given to them upon the fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with famine, with death, even by the beasts of the earth. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of the ones having been and still slain, because of the word of the God and because of the witness which they were having. And they cried with a great voice, saying, "Till at what time, the despot, namely the holy and authentic, are you not judging and avenging our blood out of the ones residing on the earth?" And a white stole was given to them, each one. And it was said to them, in order that they themselves might rest again yet a little time, till also their fellow slaves and their brothers, namely the future ones to be being killed, also as they might fulfill their lives. And I saw when he opened the seal, namely the sixth, and a great earthquake came to pass, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the total moon became as blood, and the stars of the heaven fell with reference to the earth, as a fig tree is casting its unripe figs, being caused to quake by a great strong wind. And the heaven was set apart as a little book, being wound up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the magnates, and the rulers of thousands, and the rich, and the strong, and every man, slave and free, hid themselves into the caves and into the rocks of the mountains. And they are saying to the mountains and to the rocks, "You fall on us, and you hide us from the face of the one sitting on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. Because the day, namely the great day of his wrath, came, and who is able to be stood?" All right, now coming back to page 75. That gets a little smoothness to our thinking. After this I saw, and four angels, having stood and still standing on the four corners of the earth, retaining the four strong winds of the earth, in order that a strong wind might not be blowing on the earth, neither on the sea, nor on every tree. And page 76. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having a seal of the living God. And he cried with a great voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to them to do harm to the earth and to the sea, saying, "Might you not do harm to the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, until we might seal the slaves of our God on their foreheads?" Many questions are constantly being raised. Angels having stood and still standing on the four corners of the earth, retaining the four strong winds. How would strong winds harm the earth or sea? Until we might seal. Who is the we? Still future. All right, let's go a little further. Four, page 77. And I heard the number of the ones having been and still sealed, 144,000 having been and still sealed out of every tribe of sons of Israel. Out of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 having been and still sealed. Out of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Asher, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. Out of tribe Manasseh, 12,000. Out of the tribe Simeon, 12,000. Out of tribe Levi, 12,000. Out of the tribe Issachar, 12,000. Out of the tribe Zebulun, 12,000. Out of the tribe Joseph, 12,000. Out of the tribe Benjamin, 12,000, having been and still sealed. Again, we come to the time to separate literal from figurative, and this passage offers some interesting challenges. In the first place, God does have winds more violent than we have seen. Look at 1 Kings 19:11. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before Jehovah. And behold, Jehovah passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains." That's a wind. "And break in pieces the rocks before Jehovah." But Jehovah was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, and Jehovah was not in the earthquake, after the earthquake a fire, but Jehovah was not in the fire, after the fire a still small voice. But he does have winds that can rend the mountains apart. That's some wind. That's more than a tornado. Tornadoes are child's play when it comes to God causing wind. Child's play. And they only go up to about 500 miles an hour. But they don't go around rending up the mountains. This can tear up the mountains. All right? But how would the sealing of God's slaves on their foreheads protect them from literal wind? See, now you face that cross-reference trouble. How's that going to protect them with a wind like that? All right? Let us pay particular attention to the verbs and time limits in this passage. In verse 3, the four angels are not to cause harm until the slaves of God have a seal on their forehead. This implies future time. In verse 4 we read, "I heard the number of the ones having been and still sealed." This happened at some time in the past. Now watch. This implies two sealings. One coming and one past. You follow that? That shook me up. Let's do it again. Look in verse 3 and 4. "The angels are not to cause harm until the slaves of God have a seal on their forehead." Until. See, they can't hurt it until they have a seal. This implies future time. In verse 4 we read, "I heard the number of the ones having been and still sealed already." Therefore, it infers past time. So it looks like you've got a future and a past time, both here in the same verse. Let's go a little further. It's necessary to look ahead to a passage quite future. All right, now we're not up to this, but we'll have to take it or you can't get out of this tangle. Revelation 14:1. "And I saw and behold the Lamb standing on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And the voice which I heard was as the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sing as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no man could learn the song save the 144,000. Even they that had been purchased out of the earth. These are they that were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were purchased from among men to be the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb, and in their mouths was found no lie, they are without blemish." There is nothing that I know that makes this 144,000 in Revelation 14 equal to the 144,000 we're considering in chapter 7. We've got two different 144,000. They're not the same. Let me prove it to you. But there is much that makes them different. These 144,000 were purchased from among, purchased from the men. The men. That is mankind. Men capital like that always indicates anthropos. Men, mankind, anthropology. A first fruit to thee, God, and to the Lamb. The 144,000 in chapter 7, where we're considering, are of sons of Israel. You just had it, tribe by tribe. Note the voice from heaven was as of harpers harping with their harps. Verse 3, and they sing a new song. Okay, but who is doing the singing? Now what? Only this 144,000 could learn, not sing this song. Doesn't say this 144,000 were singing it. Only this 144,000 could learn. Somebody else was singing it. Somebody else was singing it, so somebody else already knew it. These two groups of 144,000 each totaled 288,000. In 1 Chronicles 25:7, we find 288 skilled musicians. 288 times 1,000, maybe. The number that served the king was also 288,000. For now, let us return to our subject. When had the 144,000 in Revelation 7 been sealed on the forehead? The perfect tense, having been and still sealed, occurs in Revelation 7 four times. Verse 4, two times, I'm sorry. Verse 5 one time, and verse 8 one time. That distributes it four times in total. These had been sealed at some time earlier. They are all Jews, 12,000 from each of 12 tribes. Beyond this, we know nothing from the New Testament. Here it is, Ezekiel 9. Then he cried in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause ye them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the upper gate, which lieth toward the north, every man with his slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man in the midst of them, clothed in linen, with a writer's ink horn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon it was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed in linen, who had the writer's ink horn by his side. And Jehovah said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark on the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. Now this word mark is a tau, the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it can be translated into a word mark, or you could just translate it into a cross. Now the Roman Catholic, what I would call its more up-to-date translation, that was done directly from the Greek. I'm trying to think of the fellow that did it. I forget it. I have it downstairs. He translated it cross. He translates it cross. The question is, what did the devil think of it? That's the problem. Well, how is he going to translate it? Watch it. And set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry over all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my hearing, go ye through the city after him and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly the old man, the young man, the virgin, the little children, and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the old men that were before the house, and he said unto them, defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and smote on the city, in the city. And it came to pass, while they were smiting, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord Jehovah. Now, this is Ezekiel talking. Wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy wrath upon Jerusalem? And behold, a man clothed and in linen who had the inkhorn by his side reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. And so the marking was completed. That's Ezekiel 9. We'll take it up there later. Thank you.